Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Chav Beis. We are holding on the third line of Daf Chav Beis. Ve'etzim Dipshit Le'Litana is where we are holding. So today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander and honor his wife and children. And Lina Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, the Neshama, Shirav and Aliyah. So the first thing that we're going to discuss is how we know that Eitzim are paid for by the Tzibur. The Gemara seemed to use that as an assumption that Eitzim are paid for by the Tzibur when we were trying to figure out what else has to be paid for by the Tzibur. And the whole question is, do we compare it to the Eitzim or do we compare it to the actual Mincha, which a person brings from his own home? So how do I know that Eitzim are paid for by the Tzibur? Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss if you have a taroves of a kometz of one karba mincha with other menachos, either with a kometz of another mincha or with other menachos that are meant to be entirely burnt where you don't even take a kmitza from them. So we're going to have machlokas tanaim, whether you could just be maktir the whole thing together, or whether it's problematic when you have that combination, that taroves, and you're not allowed to be maktir them together. So the Gemara is going to bring the machlokas tanoim that we have in Mesechus Zvachim about bittul in a taroves of dam. What if dam gets mixed with mayim? What if dam gets mixed with yayin? What if dam gets mixed with other dam? So to what extent do we say that the dam korban is still there and just go ahead with it? And to what extent do we say no, it's become bottled, it's become diluted by whatever it's mixed with, and you're not allowed to use it. So that's a machlokas tanaim in Maseches Vachim. We're going to try to connect that machlokas tanaim to our machlokas tanaim about a taroves of a kmitza, and that's going to bring us into the sugya of min bimino eno batel or min bimino batel. The machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, when you have a taroves of two like kinds, do we assume that there is a concept of bittel or not? And we're going to try to explain how they both derive their sheet from the same pasuk, and why each one doesn't derive the other one's shita from that pasuk. So let's begin again, third line from the top of the page, on daf chaf beis amir al veitzim de pshit le'latana demishal tzibur minalan. The fact that we took it as a given that the eitzim are paid for by the tzibur, where do we learn that from? How do I know that there is such a din? So the Gemara says, detanya, we have a brisa that tells us as follows: yachal ha'omer harei alai ola yavi eitzim mitoch beis ukederach shemevi nesach. So you might have thought that when someone commits to bringing a carbon ola, he should pay for the eitzim from his own money, bring it from his own house, just like he brings the nesachim of the carbon from his own house. Tavolomer, that's why the pasuk says ala ishim asher ala eish asher al hamizbeach. So we see that eitzim, eish, and mizbeach all appear together in the same pasuk, and therefore the halacha of eitzim and eish is going to be the same as the halacha of mizbeach. Ma mizbeach shel tzibur af eitzim ve'eish mishel tzibur, just like mizbeach is mishel tzibur, so too the eitzim and the eish have to be mishel tzibur. Divrei Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon, that is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's shita, that it has to be mishel tzibur, and we derive it from the fact that the Torah puts it all together in the same pasuk, the eitzim, the eish, and the mizbeach. How do I know the mizbeach has to be mishel tzibur? So that's a Gemara Maseches Zvachim, that David HaMelech collected money from all of the shvat him in order to purchase the Makom HaMizbeach. That's what the Rash Mishantz points out over here. Now, it is interesting that the Mizbeach has to be Mishal Tzibur. So yes, we do derive it somehow from the Rash Mishantz says from David HaMelech. Question is that Ma'akev, that the Mizbeach has to be Dafka Mishal Tzibur? There is a major, there was a major debate whether, 150 years ago, whether we should be bringing karbanos bisman hazeh. At the time that they were having this debate, it wasn't even a havamina that we'd actually be able to do it, meaning anyone who was in Eretz Yisrael knew that you'd get killed if you try it. But the question was, should we bring karbanos bisman hazeh if we had the ability to go into our abayis and to bring karbanos? Would we be able to know the makom mizbeach, to build the mizbeach? Is the kedusha still there? Do we have the ability? So the whole discussion related to karban pesach every year nowadays, there's still a couple of people that try to sneak a Korban Pesach up onto Har HaBayis to bring Korban Pesach. But this was a discussion. So the Ravon writes in a tshuva that there are those that hold that it's shayich to be makrav a b'chor behema tahora b'zman hazeh, because you could go to Yerushalayim, build the mizbeach, and be makrav the b'chor behema tahora. Because Rabbi Yeshua tells us in Maseches Edios that we're makriv mafal pishein bayis. So the Ravon says, yeah, but it's not true, because if a yachid were to go and be bonah a mizbeach to be makrav a b'chor on, it wouldn't have a din mizbeach; it would have a din of a bama. And the rule is, anything that's not nidar v'nidav, like a b'chor, is not nidar v'nidav. It's something that's automatic. If it's the firstborn of an animal, it's not that you commit to bring a b'chor. You're a behemah Torah, had a b'chor. So anything that's not nidar v'nidav it cannot be brought on a bama. So when Rabbi Yeshua says that we're makriv afal pi she'ein bayis, he means on a mizbeach shel tzibur, that when the bnei agola go and they build the mizbeach, then you could be makriv even before you have the Beis Hamikdash there, as long as the tzibur paid for the mizbeach. So what you see from that Ravan is that when it says in our sugya that a mizbeach has to be mishel tzibur, that's not only a din l'chadchila that it has to be mishel tzibur. Apparently, it's ma'akev the kashrus of the mizbeach, that it automatically wouldn't be a mizbeach if it was a shel yachid; it would be a bama. So Mikdash David writes that only by the carbon itself, since it's a carbon tzibur, if it's not mishel tzibur, the tzibur is not able to be yotzei the chiyuv and to be mischaper with a carbon that doesn't belong to them, and it's ma'akev that it's mishel tzibur. But by the machshire carbon, like bigdei kohuna and eitzim, even though it's supposed to be mishel tzibur, like we say in our sugya from the mizbeach, but we don't find that it's ma'akev, says the Mikdash David, that, and if it's not mishel tzibur, the carbon is still going to be kosher. But according to the Ravan, that's not true, right? What the Mikdash David says is not true, because how do I know that the Eitzim have to be mishel tzibur? I learned it from mizbeach, and the Ravan seems to hold that if the mizbeach is not mishel tzibur, it's possible that that's ma'akev even b'di'evad. So that is part of the discussion. And the Chazon Nachum, he says that according to the Ravan, the chisaron is not that of reach nichoach. But by karbanos chova is only by karbanos chova. The chisaron of reach nichoach is only by karbanos chova. But in the darim and the davos that are brought on a bama, every mizbech that's built bizman hazeh has a din of a bama, because it's a bama siyach and nashal tzibur, and by a bama there's no din of reach nichoach, and therefore it would be mutter anyway. But anyway, so all of this is part of that discussion about bringing karbanos on the bama bizman hazeh. But back to our sugya, our Gemara wanted to know, how do I know that Eitzim comes mishel tzibur? So we quoted a pasuk, that the pasuk links Eitzim and Eish and Mizbeach all to one another, and therefore, just like the Mizbeach has to be mishel tzibur, so too the Eitzim and the Eish have to be mishel tzibur and not mishel yachid. The Brisker Rav points out that it's a little bit funny to talk about an Eish that's mishel tzibur, mishel yachid. The Eish itself has no bailus. It's not a substantive thing. It's gases. It's also difficult, even according to the Shita of Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, which we're about to quote, that says that you need an eish shalosh tamish ba hediot, that an eish that a hediot never used. The Gemara in Zvachin tells us that it means that the avanim from which you the stones that you rub together from which you're making the eish have to be brand new. Why do the avanim have to be brand new? The eish that you take out from it is brand new, and that's what you're actually using. So a little bit difficult what the role of eish over here is in describing it as being mishel tzibur versus mishel hediot, chadosh versus not chadosh. But anyway, so that's one ton in the Braisa. Rabbi Lazar ben Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Lazar ben Shmuel says, no, it's true that the pasuk is making a hekish between Eitzim and Eish and Mizbeach, but that hekish is not teaching me who pays for it, whether it comes Mishal Tzibur or Mishal Yachid. It's teaching me something else. Ma Mizbeach shelo nishtamesh bo hediot, af Eitzim ve'eish shelo nishtamesh ben hediot. It's teaching me that just like a Mizbeach has to be something that was never used by a hediot originally, and its first usage is only for the Mizbeach, so too the Eitzim and the Eish have to be something that was never used for anything else. It was never used by a Hedyot. How do I know such a din that the Avadim of a Mizbeach cannot be something that was used by a Hedyot? So it's a Mishnah, Maseches Midos. The Mishnah in the third parak of Midos says that they would bring the avonim from the mizbeach, mekarka besula. They would use untilled ground. So you know that that ground was never used, that the stones of that ground were never used for anything else. There is a question in the Ayelas HaShachar. He says, what does that mean, never used? Let's say I put something down on a stone. Does that mean that it was used because it was a pedestal for something? It was supported something? How exactly do we define? Also, he says he's not sure when a hedyot uses the mizbeach, does the mizbeach now become pasul entirely, or only that even that was used on the mizbeach, that even becomes pasul? But the entire mizbech. So the gedarim over here of being something that was never used by a hedyot are somewhat unclear. But be that as it may, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel derives from this hekesh. Not that it has to be mishel tzibur, but that it has to be something that has shalonishtamish bo hedyot, that a hedyot had never used. So says the Gemara, somewhat curiously, my benayu, what's the difference between Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel? So you can be nayu chadati, nafkamina between them. Is if you have something that's brand new, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, they don't need to be brand new. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel, they needs to be brand new because it needs to be something that a hedyot had never used before. So that's a funny conversation. We just had a classic machlokas in terms of what the halacha is that you derive from the sekesh. Do we derive that it has the halacha of who has to pay for it, and we therefore limit that it's got to be paid for mishal tzibur, or do we derive a different halacha that it has to be shalom nishtamish ben hedyot? So we might be naive. Might be naive. Of course, there are two nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is, can it be something that's paid for by a yachid? And nafkamina number two is going to be, can it be something that has been used by a hedyot? So, and the Gemara doesn't say the first nafkamina. First nafkamina would be, does it have to get paid for mishal tzibur or not? That according to the first Tana, it has to get paid for mishal tzibur, not mishal yachid. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, it could even be paid for by a yachid. So in the Yad David, he writes that even Rabbi Elazar Shmuel is moda that it has to be mishal tzibur, but he holds that while that is a din, that it has to be paid for mishal tzibur, that's not the din that we learn from this hekesh. This hekesh teaches me that it has to be some mishal neshtamish b'hedyot. But because we know, but without the hekesh, that it has to be mishal tzibur. The hekesh only tells me that it has to be brand new, and that's what the Gemara means to ask when it says my benayu. L'chora, the nafkamina is very poshut, whether it needs to be chadash or not chadash. So what's the question of the Gemara? No, but the Gemara is asking: are there two nafkaminas between them, or only one? And the Gemara's answer. There is no only one nafkamina la halacha between them, because they both agree that it has to come mishal tzibur. They just disagree about where I learned that it has to come mishal tzibur, and they disagree does it have to be brand new or not. So the only nafkamina la halacha is whether it has to be brand new or not. So that is what's going on in this Gemara according to the Yad David. So ask the Gemara va'atiki, and if you have va'atiki lo, if you have old. Wood, you're not allowed to use that for the mizbeach vaksiv. But doesn't the pasuk say vayomer aravna el David yikach v'yaal adoni amelech hatov be'enov re'ei habakar liola v'hamorigimu klei habakar le'etzim? He was telling David HaMelech, use whatever you want. You could take the klei habakar and use them for etzim on the mizbeach. Well, wait a second. If they were klei habakar, they were obviously already used. And if they were already used, doesn't that make them pasul? So says no. Hachanam. It was brand new. He was giving it, he had made them into klei habakar, but he hadn't done anything with them yet. He hadn't used them as klei habakar yet. This parallels a sugya in Zvachim on Daf Kufta Zayin. The Gemara is a machlokas Abai and Rava. If by Bama, we also have a din that it has to be brand new by a Bama or only by a Mizbeach. So Abai brings a raya that a Bama does not need to be brand new from this pasuk that he's telling him use the klei habakar. So obviously it wasn't new stuff. So you see, because it was a bama, that's why he was telling him that he was allowed to use the klei habakar. Whereas Rava says, no, by a bama it also needs to be brand new. Why was Ravna telling him to use the klei habakar? The same answer that our Gemara says. So our Gemara is assuming, like Shitas Rava, that it was brand new. He had fashioned it into klei habakar, but had never actually used it as klei habakar. My morigim, what are morigim that he told him to use. So Amar Ula, Mita Shel Tarbal. Marigim is a Mita Shel Tarbal. Wonderful. My Mita Shel Tarbal. What is a Mita Shel Tarbal? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Iza Dukur Kasa. It is a wooden board, a heavy wooden board that has pegs in it that was used to thresh the grain. That they would put it over the grain and they would tie oxen to it, and the oxen would schlep it along, and then it would thresh the grain. The dashu badashtai. Through that, the tavua became nidosh. So Rav Yosef, my kra'a, where do we see that morigim has anything to do with disha? So because the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, hine samtich l'morag charutz chadosh bal pipios. Tadush harim. So you see that morag and tadush in the same pasuk, it's describing that it's something that's used for disha, that a morag is something that's used for disha. So that's how I know that morigim is a kli that they would use dafka for threshing. Okay, now a new Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses when you have a taroves of a kometz of a karban mincha. We know the halacha is that once you take the kometz of the mincha, the shirayim gets eaten, but the kometz is hukta on the mizbech. But then there are certain types of menachos where you don't take a kometz, the whole thing gets huktar on the mizbeach. The kohanim's menachos or minchas chavitin of kohen gadol or minchas nesachim that goes along with karbanos, you don't take a kmitza from them. The whole thing gets burnt on the mizbeach. So the Mishnah is going to talk about what happens when you have one mincha that gets burnt on the mizbeach with other menachos that get burnt on the mizbeach. So that could be a kometz getting mixed with another kometz, or a kometz of one mincha getting mixed with any of these menachos that the whole thing gets burnt on the mizbech. Can you just take the whole taroves and put it on the mizbech and then be yotzei both karbanos? Or is there some sort of problem because there is a taroves? So nesariv kumtza bekometz chavirta. Let's say the kometz of one guy's mincha gets mixed in with the kometz of another person's mincha, or b'minchas kohanim, or the kometz of someone's mincha gets mixed in with a mincha that belongs to a kohen, or b'minchas kohen mashiach, it gets mixed in with a minchas chavitin of the kohen gadol that he brings every day, which again are entirely burnt on the mizbech, or b'minchas nesachim, it gets mixed in with a minchas nesachim, which is also burnt entirely on the mizbech. So ksheira, it's perfectly kosher, they're both kosher, you can bring them both on the mizbech, because they both have the same din, you're supposed to burn both of them. So the Rambam writes, you're maktir shneim ka'achas, the Rambam writes in Nichlus Psulim Mikdashin, Perak Yir Aleph, because part of the shemen of the mincha gets absorbed in the kometz, and part of the shemen of the kometz gets absorbed in the mincha. And if you were to split them up, so you'll have too much shemen in one of them and too little shemen in the other. So you just keep them together and you put them both on the mizbeach. So that's the Rambam Shita. That's the first sheet of the Mishnah Tanakama, that it's ksheira. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, the minchas koyim b'mashiach b'minchas nesachim psula. If the kometz gets mixed with the mincha of the koyim gadol or minchas nesachim, it's going to be possible. Shezo b'li lasa ava, v'zo b'li lasa raka, avein bolo zomizo, because they are different types of karbanos, and therefore they're boleya one from the other. Meaning the kometz of minchas nedava is a thicker type of dough, because you only put one log of shemen for every isaron of flour. So when you mix one log of shemen with every isaron of flour, you have a thick dough. Whereas the minchas koin mashiach and the minchas Sachim is blilasa raka. You put a lot of shemen, three log of shemen for every isaron of flour. So it's three times the oil in the ratio of oil to flour. So when you need it, it becomes a very liquidy type of a mixture. It's like a battery type of a mixture. And therefore, when you mix these two doughs with one another, they're bolea one from the other. When you mix them together, the kometz is bolea some of the shemen of the mincha that it's being mixed with, and that shemen that is extra is it becomes batel in the kometz. So it turns out that you have too much shemen in the kometz, and that itself is going to passel the kometz. That's how Rashi explains. And the minchas nesachim or the minchas chavitin becomes passel because it loses some shemen. Some of its shemen gets absorbed in the kometz, and therefore it doesn't have enough shemen. So both karbanos are ruined by upsetting the ratio of oil to flour through through the Taroves. So that is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So again, Tanakama says, anytime you have a mincha that's supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, mixed with other minchas that are supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, just burn the whole thing on the Mizbeach and it's fine. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if they're like kinds, if they have the same ratio and therefore the same type of dough, then it would be fine. But if one is a blila oven and the other one is a blila raka, you passel both karbanos because the blila oven is now a little more rach and the blila raka is now a little more of. So therefore, you have too much shemen or too little shemen in each of the karbanos. So now the Gemara says, so that's an interesting machlokas tanoim. We have perhaps a parallel machlokas tanoim in Maseches Zvachim. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah Zvachim tells us, dam shenis ariv b'mayim. If you have dam of a korban that gets mixed in with water, can you still put that dam on the mizbeach? So im yesh bo maris dam kosher. If it still looks like blood, so you could still do zrika with it. Nisariv biyayin. What if it gets mixed with red wine? So it's always going to still look like blood because it's red and red. So it's going to take a lot for it not to look like blood anymore. So then roenos hukilu humayim. You have to figure what it would look like had it not been wine, but had it been water, would it have so diluted the blood that it would no longer look like blood, then you cannot be zork on the mizbeach. But if had it been water, had it been that same quantity of wine, had that been water, then it would still look like blood, then you could still be zork on the mizbeach. Nisariv bedam behemo bedam chaya. What if the dam of your korban gets mixed in with dam of a behema that's chulin, or dam of a chaya, which by definition is chulin? Ronoso ki'ilu hu mayim. You look at the dam of the chulin as if it were mayim, and you see that if it would still be recognizable as dam, then it's kosher lizrika, even though there may be more dam chulin than there is dam kachim, right? That's what Rashi points out. Now Tosa says, wait a second, how can you be zorik the dam that has dam chulin mixed in with it? Okay, I understand medine bittel, that the dam is not batel, rono so ki iluhu mayim, and therefore legabe the din of bittel, the dam is still dam, but it's not fully 100% dam, meaning part of it is dam chulin, and isn't that a violation of malah chulin ba'azara? Meaning, don't you have a problem of being malah dam chulin in the azara? So Tosla says two possibilities. First of all, he says since dam kachim is mixed in with it, and you're not zorek the tarovis l'shem the dam pasul, you're doing it l'shem the dam kosher. That's going to be mutter. Malah chulin ba'azara is when you do something that you're not supposed to be doing, meaning you go and you take something that's a totally chulin thing and you're malid ba'azara. But if the only way to get the dam kachim to where it needs to go is through a delivery system that also involves getting dam chulin in the azara, that's not a violation of being malid chulin ba'azara. So alternatively, Tosos suggests, this is Tosos Masechah Zvachim, Adafayin Zayin, that this Mishnah goes like the Shita, that chulin shenishtu ba'azara is lav da'araisa. So even being malid chulin ba'azara is going to be mutter. Because chulin shenishtu ba'azara is not a raisa. Tosas has other answers as well, but those are two of the answers that Tosas gives. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, wait a second, no, if even one drop of dam kachim falls into a large amount of dam chulin, the whole thing is going to be kashal lizrika, because ain't dam mevatel dam. You're never going to be mevatel dam in the tarovis of more dam. So whereas the Tanakhama said, when dam chulin and dam kachim get mixed in with each other, you have to visualize as if the dam chulin were water and see, well, then would it change the look of the dam or not? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I can have one tiny drop of dam kachim and it gets mixed in with a huge amount of dam chulin, still be zorikin on the mizbeach, because dam is never mevatel dam. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Mikra Echad Darshu, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda darshan from the very same pasuk. On Yom Kippur, the halacha is that the Kohen Gadol sprinkles from the dam apar and the dam asa'ir separately in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal Keneged the Paroches. And then he mixes the two damim together and he sprinkles that combination of dam on the Mizbeach Hazav. That's at least true according to one Tana. There's a Mishnah in Yoma where the Mishnah in Yoma says Ira dam apar l'toch dam asayir, but the Gemara says that that's Machlokas Tanaim, if we're Ma'arev the two damim, or we're Mazeh from each one separately. separately. So the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda in our sugya hold that we mix them. So in our sugya, we only deal with the shita that they're mixed. So if you take dam hapar and dam ha-sayir and mix them together, and then you sprinkle them on the mizbeach, so on the mizbeach hazahav, so can that be called that you're sprinkling dam ha-sayir? After all, the dam ha-sayir is such a smaller quantity than dam hapar. Dam hapar is a much bigger animal. So didn't it become batal already? So what does the pasuk say? V'lokach midam hapar u'midam ha-sayir. The pasuk in describing taking this tarovis and sprinkling on the mizbeach says you've taken from the dam hapar and the dam ha-sayir. Everyone knows a par is way more dam than a sa'ir. So the chora, once it's mixed, the dam ha-sayir should have become batal berov, and you shouldn't call it dam ha-sayir anymore. Why does it call it dam ha-sayir? Oh, it must be because it's not batal, and everyone agrees that it's not batal. That's a pasuk. The machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is why is it not batal? So Rabbanan savri, Rabbanan hold mikan la olden she'in mevatlan ze'ezeh. You see from here that anything that goes up on the mizbeach is not mevatel one another. And even if one is way more in quantity than the other, the miut does not become batel. Because chum hold the fact that dam apar is not mevatel, the dam asayir, is because both of them are olin, and there is no din bittel by olin. But when one of the two items is not something that's meant for the mizbeach, then one can be mevatel the other, even if it's min b'mino, even if they happen to be the same min. And therefore, if you have a kometz that's nisariv with a mincha, like in our Mishnah, the Chum hold that the Tarovis is kosher, because neither one is mevatel the other. Why? Because both the kometz and the mincha are olin, and anything that's meant to go on the mizbeach, there's never going to be bittel. But when it talks in Zvachim about dam kachim that gets mixed in with dam chulin is not olin, and therefore it's shayich bittel. And that's why the chachamim in chulin say, well, wait a second, how much dam chulin do you have? Was it enough to be mevatel? We have to view it as if it's water. We have to cheshmin, because it's one of them is not olin. Rabbi Yehuda savar and Rabbi Yehuda holds mikan lemin b'mino she'eno batel. Now, what we derive from this pasuk is that the reason the dam asayir does not become batal is because it's all dam, and two like kinds are not mevatal one another, even if they're not both ola on the mizbeach. But min b'she'eno mino would become batal even if they both are ola on the mizbeach. So the according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no drasha that tells me that olin are not batal, and therefore be kometz shenisariv b'mincha, Rabbi Yehuda holds the tarovis is going to be pasul, because it's a tarovus of min b'she'eno mino, and the shemina mincha becomes nispatel in the solus of the kometz, even though they're both olin, there is going to be bittel. But when it comes to dam kachim that gets mixed in with dam chulin, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the whole thing is going to be kosher, even though one of them is not ola ala mizbeach, because it's tarovus of min b'mino. Min b'mino is eno batel. So it turns out that there's a double machlokes between the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the chachamim, olin are not mevatlin one another, but min b'mino is batel. According to Rabbi Yehuda, olin are mevatel one another, but min b'mino is eino batel. So that's the double machlokas. So now the Gemara asks on the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbanan Savri, mikan la olin shei mevatlin zezeh. What did the Rabbanan derive from the pasuk of the dam ha-sayir? They said, olin are not mevatel one another. V'dilma mishum de min b'minohu. Maybe the reason it's not mevatel is because it's min b'mino, and therefore we can learn from there like Rabbi Yehuda learned, meaning how did the Rabbanan know that it was on account of it being olin, that both of them belong in the mizbeach? Maybe the reason the dam ha-sayir didn't become batel is because it's dam and dam. It's min b'mino. So it says, no, yesh min b'mino v'lash min olin k'dekah amrit. If the Torah would have given me a case of min b'mino where they don't both go on the mizbeach, then that would be a great source that min b'mino is not batal. But that's not the case the Torah gave me. Hashtatash min and olin, the Torah dafka spoke about a case of dam apar and dam asayir, which are both ola on the mizbeach. So mishum olin, so it's most mistaver that that's the reason that they're not mevatal one another, and not because min b'mino is eino batel, and therefore there is no din min b'mino eino batel. Min b'mino is batel. So frakti gemar v'dilma adi ika min b'mino ve'olin. Well, the example that the Torah gave happens to be both. It happens to be olin and min b'mino. So maybe in order to avoid bittel, you need both of these qualifications. It needs to be both min b'mino and and both that they're olin. And maybe if you don't have both of these qualifications, maybe then in a chinami, you'll have bittul. So says Gemara kasha. Yeah, that taka is difficult. In general, whenever we say kasha, so everyone likes to quote the Rashbam and Bab Basra that kasha is different than a tiyufta. Tiyufta means it's a stronger question that's unanswerable. Kasha means it's a lighter question that it can be answered. The Rashbam does write that in Bab Basra Daf Nun Beis in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel. The Rabbeinu Chananel holds that the word kasha is less than tiyufta. That it means it's not the end of the world kind of question. We could probably come up with an answer if we worked hard enough on it. However, the Rashbam himself disagrees. He holds that kasha means an absolute pircha, just like tiyufta is an absolute pircha. But when the kasha is from a Mishnah or a Braisa, we use the lashon of tiyufta. When the kasha is from a Meraim, we use the lashon of kasha. So there are different lashonos reflecting the nature of the question, but not the strength of the question. For whatever reason, the Rabbeinu Chananel became the more popularly quoted distinction between kasha and tiyufta, that kasha somehow is not as strong. Anyway, as the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Mikan Lamin Bimino, She'enu Batel. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mikan Lamin Bimino, we learn from the Dhamma Paradhamma, sorry, that Min Bimino is not Batel. So, frankly, Gemara Vidil Mishim Dolinhu. How do you know it's because of Min Bimino? Maybe it's because the Dhamma Paradhamma and the Dhamma Sar are both supposed to be Olah on the Mizbeach. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda should learn what the Chachamim learned, that Olin are not Mevatel and Zeh. How does Rabbi Yehuda know to learn that Min Bimino are not the Mevatel each other? So, a similar response Rabbi Yehuda gives. He says, well, Yashmin if the Torah in giving an example of something that you would have thought would be batel is not batel, would have chosen an example of min b'she'eino mino, where both things are olin, then I would say you're exactly right that olin are not mevatlin zeh. But that's not what the Torah did. Hashadash mino min bimino mishum to min bimino. Why of all examples of things that are not mevata, of something not becoming bittul, did the Torah dafka give an example of blood and blood? It must be because there's a rule that min bimino is not batel, and it's got nothing to do with olin. So again, frak the Gemara, the Torah gave an example of something that was both min bimino and also both olin. So how do you know that which one is the dominant criteria? Maybe they're both the dominant criteria. Maybe because the Tarovus of the Dam Par and Dam Asar has both of these qualifications, it's both that they're both Olin and that they're Min Bimino. So maybe only when you have both of these qualifications do we avoid Bittul. But if you only have one of these qualifications, it's only Olin but it's Min Bishaino Mino, or it's only Min Bimino but they're not both Olin, maybe Taka there is Bittul. So Kasha, so the Gemara leaves that as a Kasha as well. Now there is this machlokas of whether min bimino is batel or min bimino is not batel is the subject of probably one of the five most important, probably one of the top three rans in Maseches Nedarim. Chavrusa Rebbe Razin has a list of the most important rans in Maseches Nedarim. So this is definitely a top three, right? The ran explains where does it come from that min bimino is eno batel. What's the machlokas over here whether min bimino is batel or not? So the Ran explains that we have a klal in Hilchos Taroves that anything that's similar to something else, it's not mevat. Bittel means that one overpowers the other, that two things are a conflict and the stronger one dominates. But when two things are similar to one another, adrabah, it's not a conflict, they each enhance one another. So nothing becomes batel. So Rabbi Yehuda holds whenever you have a Taroves of min bimino, the issue is not going to become batel because there's no conflict. They're not misnagid one to the other. Adraba, they each enhance the other. Whereas the Chum disagree and the Chum say, what do you mean? One is Isser and one is Heter. One is Kachim, one is Chulin. That is a conflict. And when there's a conflict, the dominant one is Mevatel, the less dominant one. So if one is Asser, one is Mutter. So you can't follow the physical nature of them, even though you have to look at their halachic nature, when halachically they're min b'she'eino mino. So according to the Chum, the reason Dama Par is not mevatel the Dama Sayer is because they're both olin, they're both kasher lizrika, which means they're halachically equivalent. Oh, if they're halachically equivalent, That's like a halachic min b'mino. So everyone agrees on some level min b'mino zeinu batel. It's just how do you define min b'mino? Rabbi Yehuda holds we look at physically what they are, and when you have min b'mino physically, there's no bittel. And the Chachamim say we look at halachically what they are, and when you have two halachic things that are similar to one another, there's no bittel. That's why a dover sheyesh lo matirin does not become batel. Something that's usher right now but will become mutter does not become batel in rov heter, because even halachically it's kind of mutter. So there's no real hisnagdus in their halachic status. Now there is a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in Maseches Shabbos and Maseches Gittin. If a sofer is writing and he's supposed to write the Shem Hashem, but he has in mind he's going to write the name Yehuda for some reason, he thought he's supposed to write the name Yehuda, and he accidentally skips the Dalit when he tries to write Yehuda, so he accidentally landed on writing the Shem Hashem where he was supposed to write the Shem Hashem, but he wasn't trying to write the Shem Hashem. So he's never Mekadesh the Shem. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mavril of Kulmus and Mekadcho, just write over the Yud Kei Vav Kei again, put more ink on that, and you'll be Mekadesh at this time, Lishma. And the Chachamim say, no, Ein HaShem in HaMuvchar. So Rabbi Yehuda was asked a Shaila in Aruch Chaim Madura Kama, in Siman Aleph, the very first Shuvah, where he was asked that by the Shaul, who said that the reason that it's kosher, Ksav Kosher, Al Gavik Ksav Pasul, is not okay for a Sefer Torah and Tefillin, and for Mezuzahs and for Gittin, is because the ink of the Ksav HaTachton is a chatzitza between the Ksav HaElyon and the Klaf. So it turns out that the Osios are Porchos Ba'avir, that the Osios are not really on the Klaf. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I reject that, because if that's the case, then not only if the Ksav HaTachton is Shalol Lishma should it be possible, but even if the Ksav HaTachton was written Lishma it should be possible. Why? Because the Ksav HaTachton is not what you're reading. You're reading the Ksav HaElyon, but the Ksav HaElyon is not on the Klaf. The Ksav HaElyon is off the Klaf. So what you're reading is not what is not what's on the Klaf, so it should be possible anyway, and you wouldn't be able to be Yotzei Yechiv. So in the number of the Achronim are Miyashev the Shoel, and they say, no, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue l'shitasam in our sugya, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you always look at what something is physically. So by Isurim, min b'mino is not going to be batel, because they both have the same physical, they're both physically the same thing. And therefore, ksav kasher al gabi ksav pasel, Rabbi Yehuda says is kasher, because it's ink and ink. So they're both the same thing, and therefore it's min echad, and min b'mino eino chotzeitz. Not only min b'mino eino batel, min b'mino eino chotzeitz. So it's not going to be chatzitza on the klaf. Whereas the Chachamim say, we always look at iser v'heter. So if one ksav is lo lishma, the other ksav is lishma, so one ksav is no good, it's pasel, the other ksav is kasher, oh, that's a chatzitza problem. But when you have what the Nodiv Yudah spoke about, where you have a ksav kasher, and then you wrote over again with a ksav kasher, of course that's going to be okay, because the Chachamim are going to say that that's min b'mino on a halachic level, and min b'mino is eino chotzeitz. That's just an extension of this run. So now the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yudah's min b'mino eino batel. Tanan, Rabbi Yudah Omer, b'minchas koin Mashiach, b'minchas nesachim, psula, zobli lasa, zobli laraka. Rabbi Yudah said in our Mishnah that if you have two things that are both supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, but one is a blila ava and one is a blila raka, so then they're going to be pasul, because there's a chisaron of shemen or a yisron of shemen in the resulting taroves if one of them has a different shemen to solus ratio. Vein bolo zumizu, by mixing together they absorb from one another the komets, is bolea some of the shemen of the mincha, and therefore there's too much shemen in that komets and there's too little shemen in the mincha. Now according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yudol's min b'mino zeinu batel v'chi bolo zumizu mayavi. Why should it become pasul when the shemen of the mincha gets mixed into the komets? Min b'mino hu. They both have shemen in it. So according to Rabbi Yudol, the shemen of the mincha should not be mispatel legabe the komets. It should still be mitzarif to the mincha. So there's no riba shamna or chisa shamna, because it never sort of left its original carbon. So it never should have. We never should have identified it as having become batel. So Amarava Kasav Rabbi Yehuda Kol Shu Min B'Mino V'Dover Acher Salekes Mino Kamisha Eino V'Sheino Mino Rabba Lavim Vatlo. That Rabbi explains. Now Rabbi Yehuda holds, what if you have a Tarovus of Min B'Mino and B'Sheino Mino? So there are three items in there. You have two things. One of them is Mino, and the other one is Eino Mino that gets mixed with something. So which is exactly our case in our Mishnah. The shemen of the mincha that is nivla in the komets is being nisarev with the shemen of the kometz, that's min b'mino, and also with the solus of the kometz, that's min b'she'eino mino. So what do? You take the part of the tarovus that is mino of what it's mixed with, and you pretend as if it's not there in the tarovus at all, and then v'she'eino mino, the part of the tarovus which is a different min, is overpowers, becomes the rove, and is mevatel the eino mino, like any other tarovus of min b'she'eino mino, where the rove is going to be mevatel. And what does that translate to in our Mishnah? The shemen of the mincha gets mixed with the shemen of the solas of mixed with the shemen and the solas of the kometz. So the shemen of the kometz is mino of the shemen of the mincha, can't be mevatel it. So we view the shemen of the kometz as if it doesn't exist. So now you have the koach of the solas of the kometz to be mevatel the shemen of the mincha that it's absorbed in. So since it's nisbatel, the shemen is no longer considered shemen of the mincha. It's like shemen of the kometz itself. And now you have too much shemen and too little shemen in the other. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda arrives at his conclusion. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow Elisha is going to give the daf here. I'm giving it in Chicago. So Elisha will pick up from there tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.